Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. But we have an awesome topic tonight. We are talking about price versus value and knowing your worth. In business, it's always a goal to establish value and divert the customer from the price. As a consumer, it's always the goal to find the best value for the price. But personally, knowing your worth is definitely an ongoing struggle. We can look at why this is by examining what we value and the price we pay to be accepted. Price is simple, straightforward, logistical, and no indication of value, where value is more subjective, personal, and emotional. So, ready to roll up your sleeves and sharpen your pencils? So, is the price too high? Are you feeling undervalued or just not good enough? Is your value your own perception or tied to someone else's expectation? Are you just selling yourself short? Now, an umbrella to this entire discussion has to be self-reflection. Only you can establish value and negotiate price in your life. Only you can know your worth. So, if you had to put a price out there, sell someone else on your value, what would you say? Before today, or this season in my life, I would have placed more value on Kendall the business professional versus Kendall the person. I put a lot of effort and energy into building my career, honing my skills, and establishing a record of success. Professionally, I had a lot of confidence. Personally, I struggled to know who I was. I was a wife, a mother, a daughter, a friend. But outside of that, I didn't really know what was important to me, what I valued. Instead of working on that, I just spent more effort and energy putting it into my personal persona. As a result, the scales were definitely out of balance, and I felt vulnerable and ill-prepared. I got hurt. 6 years ago, I decided to balance my personal ledger and do some self-discovery. I went on a quest to understand who I was and what I wanted. Now, timing was on my side. I had just enough age and enlightenment to fuel my journey. I stopped worrying about what everyone else thought, and I took this quest serious. Now, luckily, I was an empty nester at the time, so without their lives to hide behind, I had to take a real look at my own. Kimberly Fulcher is an author of Remodel Your Reality. She says, in life, you always create the results you believe you deserve. If you don't believe you deserve good things, you won't let yourself have them. You'll sabotage, procrastinate, and excuse the good right out of your life. If you don't believe you deserve it, happily, you can rise your sense of deservingness and deepen your feelings of personal worth. Now, Kimberly talks a lot about deservingness. Deservingness is not to be confused with entitlement. Entitlement is about believing you have a right to something. And deservingness is about how much you believe you're worth, how much you deserve. She lists a couple of steps that might help you get there. Better sense of deservingness. First of all, take good care of yourself. On the face of it, you'd think this advice would be obvious, right? Of course, you have to take care of yourself. The problem with this truth, unfortunately, is that there are people, even whole communities of people, who will try to convince you that prioritizing your needs means you're a selfish person. And who wants to be selfish, right? Self-care is not selfish. Self-neglect is selfish. Self-neglect tells you that you don't matter. It asks you to stuff all your wants and repress all your emotions. When you chronically neglect yourself, eventually you turn into a repressed, angry, self-doubting zombie. Or banshee, depending on your anger level at the time. Nothing about self-neglect is attractive. You need to be in top form. There's purpose on your life. This is your life. You have purpose. To make good on it, you need to connect with yourself. The most fundamental way to begin that process is to take care of your physical body, like sleep care. You need adequate sleep every night. Turn off the TV, shut down the electronics, get some good sleep. Drink care. You need proper hydration, right? Water is energy. It's got to be my mantra because I'm really horrible about water, but maybe I need to put that as something in my mirror. Water is energy. Nutrition care. You need to eat food that nourishes, not just food that fills your stomach. Stress care. You need some way to relieve stress, like working out or meditation, journaling, gardening, praying, sitting in nature, cooking. I added a few of my own. Social care. Don't go it alone. Don't feel like your worries are a burden and then you carry them around with you on your own. You need people in a social setting to laugh, to cry, to plan and celebrate. Find a support partner or a group to share with and meet with them often. Thought care. Give your brain a break. Take a time out from life and worry and just let your brain relax. Can you solve all the world's problems today? No? Then they won't miss you for a minute. You need to unplug and rest your brain. Read a book. Watch a mindless program. That's my favorite. Meditate. Go for a walk. And notice the world around you. I mean, really look. Have you been in a rush? Just kind of, you've seen those videos where it's just really, really fast and the traffic is passing by so quickly. Are you living your life like that? Try the next time you go on a walk, just looking. Look at the flowers and really notice detail. Look up and look at the clouds and the shape that the clouds might make. The way that the sun, hopefully if you're on a sunny day, I guess if you're walking you are, shines down on the top of a building or into a window. I mean, really start noticing those things. I think we get so fast, we don't think about it. We don't think about slowing down and really paying attention to detail. How about giving care? The best way to get out of your own head is to give to others. There is such soul-nourishing payoff for helping others. You can volunteer in almost any capacity. Find something where you have passion and talent and go for it. Take a deep breath and start tackling your core basics. You do have time. Don't tell me you don't. And guess what? You're not selfish. There's no wrong way to do this except to not do it. Practice makes powerful. So practice. How about be someone you can count on? You can't think your way into believing in your own worth, but you can act your way there. As it turns out, keeping the commitments you make to yourself increases your feelings of worth and deservingness. It increases your confidence too. Think about it. You make countless commitments every day. The trouble, of course, is that most of them are to other people. When you don't have a strong sense of your own worth, you agree to most incoming requests, which means you're probably very overcommitted. When your calendar is crowded and something's got to give, you're the one who usually goes because it's easier to break commitments to yourself, right? But every time you break a commitment to yourself, what you're really doing is showing yourself through your own inaction that you don't matter. It's time to start following through for you. The best way to get a handle on showing up for yourself is to start paying attention to what's going on when you don't. What causes you to cross those things off your list. When you bring your triggers into awareness, you'll notice a pattern, which will give you the power to make a change. Being self-aware is such a huge step, so take notice. Pay attention to those little signs. Take things one choice at a time. Whenever possible, choose to follow through for you. Consider actually scheduling time on your calendar like you do everything else. Even set a reminder. Hey, 5 minutes. It's all about you, right? Let your friends, family, and coworkers know your commitment to your schedule and to yourself. And then take it seriously. You will be so happy that you worked you into your day. And stand up for yourself. When you don't believe in your own deservingness, you become an earner. Meaning you spend your time and energy earning love. This can show up in a lot of different ways. You could be a pleaser. You say yes when you mean no. You do a ton of favors. Are you thinking about them right now? And you're secretly annoyed the entire time you're doing them, but you keep doing them anyway. You might be a performer. You're the life of the party, an overachiever. You use material items and accolades like money, degrees, titles, and awards to prove your worth. Name dropping, right? It's possible you're a doormat. Sounds harsh, but this pattern is most damaging because it means you're allowing other people to treat you poorly. On the extreme end of the spectrum, this could look like allowing people to demean, degrade, or disrespect you. Even on the lesser end of things, it means you allow people to get away with passive-aggressive comments or taking advantage of you. On any end of the spectrum, doormat behavior is toxic. When you live as an earner, you attract users. I'm going to say that again. When you live as an earner, you will attract users. And yes, that's just as bad as it sounds. There are unfortunately people in the world that will live at your expense without even giving it a second thought. If you're willing to give it, they'll take it. They'll even talk themselves into believing that they deserve it. And they'll take more. These kind of people like to keep you small and scared and doubting your own deservingness. Then you do whatever they want, whenever they want you to. You must stand up for yourself. Start by catching yourself in the act of playing the earner. What and who triggers that earner response in you? What are you afraid of? What are you trying to prove? If you feel drained or bad about yourself after you're with a specific person or in a certain place, you need to think twice about being with that person or in that place. Listen to your intuition. It's not just a feeling or a twinge. It's actually a sign trying to get your attention. Now, this can be a little tricky. when the people that make you feel this way are coworkers and family members, it's not like you can just stop seeing them, right? If you find yourself in this position, there's only one path. You need to learn to speak up for yourself. It starts with creating a healthy boundary. What you will and will not accept as proper treatment in your life. You are the person that sets this boundary and needs to lead by example. The way you treat yourself, remember this, is directly related to the way others will treat you. When you identify the need for a boundary, do it clearly, calmly, firmly, respectfully, and in as few words as possible. This is very important. Few words. Don't justify. Don't get angry or apologize about this boundary. The first thing you want to do when you set a boundary is, well, I'm doing it this way because of this and because of that. And you start getting really flustered because you're getting really defensive. This is the time that you really need to set a firm, direct, and calm boundary. This is what I'm going to need in order to move forward. I need this. And then let it go. Right? Or I can't have this in my life. This doesn't serve me well. Enough. You're not responsible for other person's reaction to your boundary. You are only responsible for clearly and respectfully communicating your boundary. If it upsets the other person, be confident and just know that's not your problem. That's their problem. You're good. You deserve good things. You deserve acceptance and belonging and love. Sounds right, doesn't it? But why then can we hear it, believe it, but not let the concept in and actually practice it? Why is that? Well, when you've been told you don't deserve it or you're not good enough over and over, it's not a flip of the switch to change your perception. It takes time and a lot of self-reflection, which is hard to do if you're still spending all your time worrying about others or worse, trying to please everyone. It's time for a sabbatical and deep dive into what makes you, you. Maybe instead of trying to figure out who we are, we gently stop being who we aren't. How do we relieve ourselves of these false fronts, these personas, who we want everyone to believe we are? It's important to challenge your strengths and your weaknesses. Sometimes you might have it twisted. Being a tough businesswoman who's goal-driven and focused may not always be a strength. Just like being too empathetic and caring about other feelings and misfortunes may not always be a weakness. Evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses when it comes to your character. How you see yourself. When you look at your strengths list, is that really you? Really look at it. Really dive into it. Question it. Challenge it. Is that really you? Or is that just your persona? How could this strength actually be a weakness? Maybe work ethic is your strength, but maybe if you really look at it, is it workaholic? Are you working too much? Then evaluate your weaknesses in the same manner. After thinking it through, should you move some things around? Now look at the list and highlight what you're most proud of. Sometimes what we're most proud of is the one thing we fail to share with others. Remember, as I've always said, you are growing every day and learning more about yourself as you do. This list is in no way final, so keep it handy because you will have many chances to update it on your journey. Now, here are 5 big questions. We won't get through them all on this break, but here are 5 big questions that can serve as a launch pad to begin your journey of self-discovery. These are from Donna Middleton. Donna is a writer, reformed marketing workaholic, and a single mother of 2 teenage boys. She's exploring who she is and what she loves one day at a time. So, the big question. What or who would you be if you knew you couldn't fail? The risk of failure terrifies most people. How many times have you wanted to change jobs or careers, move to a new city, promote a cause that is important to you, or become an expert in a certain area? Think about it. No risk of failure. If you are 100% certain that you could be or do anything you wanted and not fail, do you know the answer? What is your 90-second personal elevator speech? Probably one of the most important and poorly answered questions in most job interviews. You can certainly include your career or your career accomplishments in your personal speech, but think of this from the perspective of how you might answer this if you are making a new friend, right? Or going on a first date with someone. You wouldn't walk up there and say, well, I made President's Club and I sold over $2.5 million last year. It's not what you're going to say on a date, right? You might get the check. How would you describe yourself so that the person asking the question would truly understand who you are and what is important to you? What are your core personal values? This one's a hard one. Personal values are the things that you believe are important in the way you live. They give you a reference for what is good, beneficial, important, useful, desirable, and constructive. Once you're able to determine exactly what values are most important to you, you can better determine your priorities. In fact, having this information about yourself is key to making sure your daily life is aligned with those values. So write them down. Put them up where you can see them. Now, don't worry if this doesn't come to you quickly. Businesses spend years and lots of money to develop their own set of core values. As I said, you're growing. They could change what's important today, but this is inherent at the core of your being. What is important to you? What makes you genuinely happy? This one is closely related to your core personal values. However, ask yourself this question once you've really nailed down those values. For example, if family is one of your core personal values, will taking a job that involves tons of travel make you happy? Take it even a step further and really consider dreams you had when you were younger or currently have about what will make you truly happy. And it may not be one big thing, right? It may not be a thing. It may be something within that thing. So don't get hung up on going to Europe. What is it about going to Europe that would make you happy? Is it exploration? Is it a change in culture? You know, try to not make it the event, but what about that event or thing would actually make you happy? How about if money were no object, how would you live your life differently? Many people equate happiness and success directly to the amount of money that they have. How many times have you heard someone say, if I hit the lottery, I'd... But remember, this question isn't really about money at all. It's more about thinking outside the limits we tend to put on our aspirations because they seem out of reach financially. You may not be able to do those exact things, but once you know what those true desires are, you expand your thinking and you begin to develop a plan to work towards goals you may have never even imagined possible. Many of us are on a quest to do good, to be a good person, to help our neighbor, contribute to society in a meaningful and impactful way. What about finding your purpose? Discovering what's important to you. Seek knowledge that will pour into you. As I've always said, we are striving for a healthy balance of giving and receiving. Don't be so concerned with what you pour into the world that you neglect what you should be receiving from it. This world and all its opportunities are there for you as well. Each of us has a unique purpose and gifts we should activate. It's hard to identify what those are when we're so concerned with everyone else's lives. When you tap into your true purpose, your personal net worth skyrockets. It's crystal clear and you get a hunger for more. Activating this gift gives you the confidence to propel you through the hardships and the challenges of life. You know what you're here for and what drives your passion. So, how do you find it? Well, you need to carve out some time to take this journey that we keep talking about, right? Gotta make some me time. The one that puts you in the driver's seat. Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup for the Soul says, "We are all born with a deep and meaningful purpose. We just have to discover it. Your purpose is not something you need to make up. It's already there. You just have to uncover it in order to create the life you want." You may ask yourself, "What is my purpose in life?" You can begin to discover your passion or your purpose by exploring two things. Can you imagine coming down to just two things? What do you love to do? And what comes easily to you? That's easy, right? Of course, it takes work to develop your talents. Even the most gifted musician still has to practice. But it should feel natural, like rowing downstream rather than upstream. Ask yourself, what are two qualities I most enjoy expressing in the world? Really, write those down. We have a little exercise we're doing. We're going to come up with your purpose, but it starts with those two things. What are two qualities I most enjoy? And it could just be one word, right? Well, two words, because there's two of them. What are two qualities I most enjoy expressing in the world? Then ask yourself, what are two ways I most enjoy expressing these qualities? What are two ways I most enjoy expressing these qualities? Take a few moments and write a description of what the world would look like if it were operating perfectly according to you. For instance, in my perfect world, everybody is living their highest vision where they're doing and being and having everything they want, right? Whatever that perfect world is, in a perfect world, there's no hunger. There's no sadness. There's no isolation, whatever your perfect world looks like. Then combine all three. So that was your first two statements, right? Which were what I most enjoy expressing in the world. And then what are two ways I enjoy expressing them? Then what does your perfect world look like? So you're going to combine all those three into one statement. Then you'll have a clear idea of your purpose. Sounds crazy, but seriously, write it down. I've done it myself, and it did come out to what my true purpose is. What if I told you that you have your own guidance system within you that can help you get to where you are in life and where you want to go? It's called your inner GPS. Your inner GPS is similar to the GPS system you use in your car or on your phone. It tells you how to get from A to B. When you get in your car and you're heading to a specific destination, what is the first thing you put in your GPS? Well, first, you find your current location, right? So take an evaluation of where are you now. Once it's determined where you are, it gives you directions to where you're heading. All you have to do is decide where you want to go by clarifying your vision. Then you lock in your destination through goal setting, affirmations, and, very important, visualization. And then you start taking the actions that will move you in the right direction. With every picture you visualize, you're inputting the destination you want to go. Every time you express a preference for something, you're expressing an intention. A table by the window, front row seats at a conference, first class tickets, a room with an ocean view, or even a loving relationship. All these images and thoughts are sending requests out into the universe. If you stay out of its way, meaning you don't interrupt the process with a stream of negative thoughts, doubts, fears, your inner GPS will keep unfolding the next steps along your route as you continue to move forward. Once you clarify and then stay focused on your vision, and you can stay focused on your vision by doing a vision board or journaling, writing a to-do list, a goals list. The exact steps will keep appearing along the way in the form of internal guidance, creating ideas and new opportunities. Once you're clear about what you want and you keep your mind constantly focused on it, the how will keep showing up. Sometimes, just when you need it and not a moment earlier, boy, I have witnessed this myself. You know, if you have that big goal, something big that you want to do, write your steps. Now, you might hit obstacles on those steps. Those little, you're going for a milestone, you get diverted. Don't give up on that big goal. You might just have to take another route. So knowing what you want, having a clear vision for that, constantly focus on that, how to get there is going to come to you. And it could come to you in the form of obstacles. Not going that way, go another way. Nope, turn there, go the other way. Don't get frustrated by the redirection, the detour. You were born with an inner guidance that tells you when you are on or off course by the amount of joy you're experiencing. The things that bring you the greatest joy are in alignment with your purpose, and you'll get to where you want to go. Take some time and think honestly and openly about where you currently are in your life and what you want to do with your life. Living a purpose-driven life will give you the confidence to see your value and know your worth. I hope you've enjoyed price versus value and really picked up some strategies to know your own worth. Boy, we looked at it. We brought it down to some simple questions, right? That we just had to ask ourselves over and over again. You know, it starts with setting aside some time for your own self-discovery, your own journey. Putting yourself first in this type of self-awareness is so important. It's the only way that you're going to get to the heart of what makes you tick. And that's important. Now, we know you're good at your job. We know that you're a great caretaker. We know that you're a wonderful spouse and a great friend. But really, what is important to you? What makes you tick? If you had to answer that, could you answer that? If not, you need to look into that and be really serious about it. It's important. Don't waste another minute. We talked about different ways to care for yourself. You know, really taking care of yourself, standing up for yourself. No need to be a pleaser, a performer, a doormat. That is not going to serve you and is only toxic. Really start standing up for yourself, finding your own voice, setting aside time for your journey, creating that healthy boundary in order to give yourself time, communicating that boundary in a simple way. Remember when we said, maybe instead of trying to figure out who you are, that's one way to do it, but how about gently stop being who you aren't? It's pretty powerful when you really think about it. It's all perception. Stop with the persona, the strong outer shell, while you have this inner self that is weak. Let's start getting a healthy balance there, right? Between the two of them. What do you love? What comes easily to you? Let's help you find your purpose here. When you find your purpose, you propel yourself forward. So I challenge you, take charge of your journey and chart your own personal course. You have many stops along the way to your destination. So straighten out the curves and smooth the course with a clear purpose locked in. You deserve what this life and all its opportunities have in store for you. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Someone through until the path was clear. That's when I found you.